Here we go.
Okay, it is 9:17.
That is love, actually.
For our work session here, meeting on Tuesday, November 29th. Let's go around and introduce yourselves.
Charisse Bills, Clerk Auditor's Office.
Curtis Coe, Clerk Auditor.
Lorraine Kamala, Commissioner.
Randy Ely, Commissioner.
Bob Stevenson, Commissioner.
Kent Anderson, Community and Economic Development.
Bartley Matthews, Community and Economic Development.
Chris Bone, Human Resources.
Okay, we're going to review the Davis County third quarter transportation grants.
Will you, for the record, please, online?
Sorry, online we have Jeff Euler and Neil Geddes, civil attorney.
Thank you.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you pass around that paper? I know I've got like three copies of it on my desk.
You know, I did this. You got some extras there. Yeah, perfect.
Awesome, thank you.
Okay, we'll turn the time over to Community and Economic Development to present this.
You got an extra one, maybe pass that around. So passing around right now in front of you, the third quarter transportation recommendation priority list that came from the Council of Governments. Just as a recap, this is our third quarter transportation funding. This is our third year of funding that we're recommending. It starts with requests for letters of intent, I apologize, in April to the cities, and then those that are asked to come back and complete a full application, complete them by June. Then staff, with a partnership and an agreement with Wasatch Front Regional Council, go meet with the individual cities on the project sites to review, ask questions. And then Wasatch Front Regional Council will take this list and score it based on a number of different factors, and meet with staff and then COG subcommittee to make recommendations to the Council of Governments, of which this list was presented in October. That's kind of the summary of how we got to this point right here. We've got the list in front of you. Our idea was just to walk through each of these projects with the commission. I think is what we'll do is we're going to hold off on the Layton and Clearfield projects because we know there's some questions on that, so we'll run through the others.
They're on their way.
They're on their way? Okay, perfect. So we'll go through the others and then save Layton and Clearfield for the last. So I'm going to turn it over to Bartley.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
I also have
to. So just taking projects in general, let's hypothetically say we have $10 million available and we have 8 requests that only equal to $9 million. Would the attitude be to give all $9 million out to those projects, or do we still look at projects to see whether or not they fit within the criteria, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
That's the second. So just because money is available doesn't mean we're just going to give it out if someone asks for it. The project needs to be ready. It needs to be a project that's of import to the community, and they need to have a match put together, et cetera.
Okay, so on projects being ready, now this is Jeff may be able to answer this question too. And again, I know not picking on anybody, but just $500,000 that Bountiful needed so badly at the point time a couple of years ago, and yet they've never spent the money. I mean, how does that fit into this type of thing here? Because I don't think that money.
Yeah, and that was the third quarter money that was used. That's why we have our agreements. That's why we put deadlines. And so all of these projects will have deadlines of when to be completed, 2025. So typically we're looking 3 years out. So they've got a 3-year window. A lot of these projects can't begin engineering and design until they know they've got the money committed, because that's a significant portion of the budget. And that could take a year, and then you could look at a year and a half to 2 years maybe for construction. Land acquisition comes into it, and you know that can take a period of time as well.
And my question is just to make sure that I understand the very last step in the process. Was that group from COG, right? Is that okay?
The last step of the process will actually be with the commission.
Prior to now, sorry.
Yeah. So it's a COG recommendation. So part of the legislation is that the Council of Governments make a recommendation to the county commission on priorities for funding.
Okay. Yeah, and I knew that group existed, and that's what I thought.
Yep. For the record, real quick, JJ, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, JJ Allen, City Manager of Clearfield.
Thanks, JJ.
Do you want to sit over here?
Wherever you like me.
Yeah,
come on. Lorraine's
calling you over.
My piles.
Mayor Shepherd's just slowed down with snow and traffic.
So. Yeah, slower this morning.
All right, Bartley, if you want to go ahead and start with
number
one. JJ, just so you know, we're going to go through all the projects and save the best for last.
Okay.
Clearly.
Okay. I am just sharing the entire screen. Can you see our screen, Jeff?
Not yet.
Has it come up yet for you guys?
Yeah, there it comes. It's up now.
You see it, yeah, bountiful. Okay. So the first project, and these are in order of how they scored, with WFRC doing our scoring for us. The first project is in West Bountiful, and it is 1100 West widening. And I've got a little far north here. The segment that they're looking at is from 200 north to 400 north of widening 1100 west on the east side of the street. And that will bring it so that it's consistent with all the way from 500 south going north. This is the gap that's missing right here. And so if I draw you in, you can see that on the north, they've got the east side of the street completed. If we come down here below 200 north, again, you can see the sidewalk, curb and gutter, bike lane are in. They just want to come in and finish this last little segment right here for two blocks. And so their request, the total project cost is $736,760. And they have been able to come up with 50% of that cost. And so they asked the county for a grant of $368,380, which the COG recommended. The next project that we'll look at is the Clinton Sunset Clearfield project on 800 North. And this is a continuation.
Bartley, can I ask a question?
Yes.
I thought of late.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't notice when you showed it.
Yeah.
Is it a dedicated bike lane and the sidewalk curb and gutter?
Yes, they're going to stripe it with a bike lane.
Okay.
That whole distance.
That'll
from
be
500
something.
South all the way up north. So
great. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'll take you up to 800 north in Clinton and Sunset. And this project, it's its own project this year. But in the past, Clinton worked with West Point. And so this road, 800 North, has been widened and improved all the way from 3000 West. There's a sidewalk on both sides, curb and gutter, all the way in. So the gap that's remaining here is to go from the bridge over the Union Pacific and UTA rail corridor and to come to 1000 West. And so if I just zoom in a little bit, again, you can see that the street's completed on the west side of 1000 West. And they're just going to come in and continue that, complete it all the way along here so that we've got a nice street. They're also going to do some resurfacing and improvements of the bridge according to UDOT's recommendations. And so this is a partnership project with Clinton, Sunset, and Clearfield. The total project is $1,825,000. They have a 20% match at $365,000, which is our minimum requirement. And they've requested $1,460,000. And the COG recommended to award that grant.
Do you know what the plan is? Totally didn't be interrupted.
Uh-huh.
With the houses on the south side, you did two of them, I believe, that are unincorporated Davis County that don't have sidewalks.
Yes, you're correct. Jeff, would you like to answer that question about the two properties on 800 North that are unincorporated county?
Yeah, we don't know how that happened or how they were able to evade getting in the city, but it goes back years. We've had some conversations with Clearfield about this and trying to bring those two homes into the city as part of this project, in talking with the city engineer, he has reached out to them and has had some conversations, and we're going to see if we can pull those two houses into the out of the unincorporated county as part of this project. That's the bottom line.
And they're clear.
Hey, and real quick, Mayor,
Clearfield
can you
City.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself for the record so that they know.
Oh, sorry, Mark Shepard, Clearfield City Mayor.
Okay, thanks, Mayor.
And I have another question about that. I remember when Caseville, so many years ago, put in a bridge over the railroad. So this must be a bridge that's actually city owned.
Well, I'm not sure who actually owns the bridge.
I assume it's UDOT.
It's not UDOT.
No, it's not UDOT. It's a shared ownership of the bridge.
Yeah. With the
Clinton.
Cities? Clinton and Clearfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, to see who owns what? Okay.
Yeah, they own the north side of the bridge and we own the south side.
Okay.
Probably.
Wow. That's, yeah.
It's going to be an interesting thing when it finally falls down.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Counties, because counties own most bridges across the United States, which is interesting too.
The next project that we'll look at is in Woods Cross. This project is right by their town hall on 1500 South and 800 West. And so it's improving this intersection at 1500 South and 800 West. And if I bring this up, let's see, I can show you pretty much what they're looking to do there. We'll zoom in a little bit. So they want to make sure that they add some turn lanes. They're going to install all of the conduit, everything to make that signal ready. Right now, their traffic signal warrant study doesn't merit a signal just yet. The demand isn't quite there yet. Mm-hmm. But they want to improve the intersection, and they want to have all the conduit, everything installed, so that once they do qualify for a signal, they can just go hang the light up, and it'll be ready to go.
Right now it's a four-way stop?
Yes, it's a four-way stop, if I remember right. So what their request is, the project is $940,000. They have a total match of $860,000. So they're only asking for an $80,000 grant from the county, which is just a small distance to go to help them get the funding they need to complete the project. And so the COG recommended awarding them that grant. The next project that we'll look at is just as a by way of a reminder, the Farmington Station project, which you're all familiar with. This one originally came to the county in the first year, where they were given a multi-year award, and so this is the third year. Third and final. And so it was $4 million for each of those 3 years. And so that is included in what you would be approving today.
Yeah, I believe they've started work over.
Yeah, they're cutting it through. Yeah.
They have. They bid the project out this summer. This fall work started. They're grubbing in all the roads right now, and they've really gone quite rapid on it.
Deflation's been kind of a hard on that project, so they still have a shortfall that they're requesting the legislature now to help with.
The next project I'll take you to is in North Salt Lake. And it's right off of the 2600 South exit. In North Salt Lake, that's 1100 North. And this is a combined project with Woods Cross. And it's this intersection right here at 400 West on 1100 North. You can see that there's a residential subdivision on the north side of the street in Woods Cross. And then 400 West is a main thoroughfare for North Salt Lake through this industrial area down to Center Street. There's a lot of traffic that passes through this intersection, and it's an extremely congested intersection. And so North Salt Lake and Woods Cross have teamed up together to install a traffic signal. And the total project will cost $343,218. They have matched it at $100,000, so almost a third. and they've come to us with a request of a grant for $243,218, and the COG recommended awarding them that grant. The next two projects, we'll go to Syracuse.
So what's a little bit unique about these? These have not been recommended for funding on 9 and 10. We have 100 points that's available to score through Wasatch Front. They both scored below 50. There's a lot of comments just about not being quite ready. Could be a larger coordinated project. So these are projects that we continue to work with the cities to get in a good position for this upcoming year request.
So this particular project that was submitted to us by Syracuse is located on Highway 193.
Is this the one that's late?
Well, all of the applications were submitted on time. Yeah. This one was, what you may be referring to is we'd like to see a little more detail to the project.
There was something on it.
Yeah. Okay. It feels like it needs a little more thought put into it to help us get the project to a point where it's ready.
This is an interesting one too, that Syracuse is contemplating a redevelopment area for as well. And so part of the question is, all right, well, if you're requesting tax increment to do infrastructure, but you're asking for third quarter for infrastructure, help us understand the financing of this project a little bit better before we start committing funds and then having you come and request additional funds.
Is this kind of their walking area?
This would be more of the business park format.
Oh. Yeah, so what it is it's an intersection right here on Highway 193 and a 2500 West. And so eventually one day their intent is to have 2500 West connect all the way through. What they're looking at for this project, I'll just show you quickly in their application.
This is a good opportunity for job creation. Off of 193, again, you think of that facility, five-lane cross-section, 45 miles an hour, east-west. It's a great location for moving goods and services.
Is it, like, are those agricultural uses right now?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, primarily church-owned.
Oh, church-owned.
Yeah, the Cooks own a little bit of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's currently just zoned for those current uses.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, there's a ditch down this center, and this is owned by the LDS Church, and this is owned by the Cook family. If I bring you back to, okay, where'd it go on me? I just
double click again.
There it goes, okay. So this is the intersection that they're proposing. It's just a stub it right now with a driveway, and they wouldn't even actually install the signal yet, so it's kind of similar to what's crossing in that sense. They would just have everything ready to go for the signal to go in the future. It's interesting because this project, what they submitted to us was a cost of $2,989,377. Pretty significant cost. Far as we can tell, the bulk of that cost is in putting in this deceleration lane and acceleration lane, and together that's almost 3/4 of a mile, as well as the center left turn lane and then finishing out the intersection right here. It all has to be the same concrete. UDOT's requiring it to be the same concrete that they built Highway 193 out of. And so it's a much more expensive road that they have to build there. And then once they stub in, this would just be pavement. So we felt like the cost was pretty high right now. We've learned after the COG process that there may be some interest in working with West Point to do a complete intersection there. And so they're only interrupting the highway at one time instead of coming back later, because one day West Point expects that maybe they'll go north.
If you could go back to that aerial, I think there's a very unique opportunity for both of these communities when you look at almost a combined 400 acres of undeveloped acreage that's contiguous. It's pretty unique in Davis County.
This is all also owned by the LDS Church.
So hasn't West Point been a little not ready to do that yet? I'm trying to remember what
Well, the recent conversation I had with Mayor Vincent is that the church isn't ready to stop what they're using the property for, and so they're not ready to let West Point.
Well, I mean, I would think that going in together probably is the right thing to do, as far as I know.
Certainly, at least if you were going to stub it on either side.
You know, the other thing too is whether or not you can get UDOT to participate.
Yeah.
In that also.
Well, and Syracuse alluded to that in their application, that UDOT was going to make some in-kind contributions, but they never clarified what those are.
Is that anything that they've been working with the Wasatch Front to get?
No. In fact, they just barely got it on the functional classification list, if I remember right, with WFRC. And so, yeah, they haven't done much.
Well, I almost think that should be the county and with the cities.
Yeah, and UDOT.
I don't know, who's over the transportation or whatever?
Who's over Transcom?
I'm sure it's a loser, though, when you break that.
It is, I mean, it's something that Transcom would look at and say, this is, I mean, it's a UDOT project. Yes, yeah. Yes, the streets this way and this way, but an intersection of 193 is a UDOT project, and if you're going to do acceleration and deceleration lanes, that's a UDOT function, not a
Okay, so a city function. A question that I have is, with Clearfield having a new mayor, or excuse me, Syracuse having a new mayor, and West Point having a new mayor, do we need to give those guys a little help as far as understanding how to go through the process of signing all that in?
Well, and we've told both of them that they're welcome to come to us when they're ready. That we're happy to go out and meet with them, meet with their staff. Just let us know when they'd like us to do that.
I think really the question here, though, is can we help them shepherd through the Wasatch Front process?
That's
so as opposed to them waiting for us to ask for support, maybe we could say, hey, how can we help forward this through the Wasatch Front process?
I think we could just do that. I've heard them discuss in city council meetings.
We ought to have Wayne Mannion reach out to him and just have him just make, you know, start that discussion. And I can talk to Wayne and have him make that call, because I think he can walk them through this process. Between he and Ben, they can, and then they've got the ability to get UDOT involved.
Well, and Wayne is familiar with this project and this application.
So he's the staff that assists us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard them, I mean, they've done so much with the corner, right, and development. And I've heard them talk about their planning and zoning and having more density in places where it's appropriate, right? So it seems
next week we'll bring our West Davis Corridor market study, which will actually include discussion about some potential land uses
there
for that area.
That's another big thing coming soon.
You're gonna bring Jeff with you next week too.
No, I'm keeping them up right where we've got them.
It's perfect. It doesn't sound so good.
Yeah. All right, we're running a little short on time, so we're just going to just quickly mention number 10.
Yes, our last project here was from Clinton City, and it was to go from approximately right around here at about 3430 west along 2300 north, reconstruct this segment of it over to the roundabout, and then improve the road out here to the city boundary, which is approximately, I guess, right about there, where it has that last little kink. It scored last in our scoring just because there's not a lot of demand out there right now, and it doesn't provide a lot of connectivity to other needs at the moment. There's also the question about the highway. When will the highway be built? The West Davis Corridor will come right through here, right up the side of Cranefield Golf Course. And so it might be okay to just wait. There's also some developers here who can bear some of that, shoulder some of that cost. And what we'd probably prefer to see, and we've talked with Clinton about this, is maybe coming back next year with an application that just breaks it down to this segment, from the roundabout back to about 3430 west, and just come and we can talk about reconstructing that segment of the road. Unfortunately, the road's only about 15 years old, but for whatever reason, it was built without the best standards, and it's falling apart on them, and they could use some repairs there. So with that, those two projects were recommended not to receive an award this year. If we go back quickly to the Blayton projects.
Why don't we hit the Clearfield project first?
You want to hit that one first?
Yeah, let's hit those. Okay. And get these guys here. So.
Okay, so we've got the Clearfield project. This project is Clearfield Station, and so what it is it's extending Depot Street, which if I bring you up here at Highway 193, you can see where existing Depot Street comes down, follows along the rail corridor to its terminus right there. And so it's extending Depot Street from there through the new transit-oriented development down here to align with 1450 South, and Depot Street will come across and it'll connect at 1450 South with State Street. This is on the functional classification list with WFRC and UDOT. And Clearfield City has submitted to us a recommendation and a request for this project. They looked for a multi-year award. The total project is $22 million for the North Station road.
No,
it's actually number 30.
Oh, I've got it wrong. You're correct. Yes. $10,300,000.
Yeah, we're actually at Farmington. $30 million project.
So. Yes, but for this, what they submitted to us was a $10,300,000 project
for Depot Street
and State.
And State Street, because State Street's also on the functional classification list. And so right here, you can see where they're grubbing out Station Boulevard that will intersect with State Street, and there'll be a signal, a traffic signal there, and a proposed traffic signal here. And so all of that
elimination of
the one at 1000 East, which is one of Davis County's most dangerous intersections.
Yes, and so there's an existing signal right here that will be taken out. A concrete barrier will be put down the median to create a right in and a right out at 1000 East. And so the project came in at $10,300,000, where Clearfield has a match of $2,300,000. And they gave us a request of $8 million in a two-year multi-year grant of $4 million for the next 2 years, this year and next year. And so as the COG reviewed this, well, and we also looked at the cost estimate, we just had a couple questions on the cost estimate. If I get into Clearfield here, where the costs were broken out for us. The first question centered on mobilization. And so we see a total mobilization of $795,766.50. And we see some broke out costs in that mobilization. But we also see a line item up there of $680,000 for mobilization. With the $10 million project, that's approximately, that, you know, that's a, like 8% of the project for mobilization. So we felt like that was a little high.
What is mobilization?
Well, that's setting everything up, getting all the construction equipment there.
No
design work.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
The contractor setting up operations, getting his equipment there, taking care of all the road control that might need to happen, things like that, making sure that it's all ready for a construction project.
So, you guys, JJ or Mark, you guys got anything?
Yeah, so just to give you a little more background on this one, or at least where this is, this, when we bid this out, and the reason you have a $10 million request is because when we bid this out, and had our engineers look, we originally had our engineers look at it, and the UTA's engineers, our engineers, and bid the project there, I mean, got their firm estimates, we were about $18 million.
Not just for Depot Street, but
no,
for the entire
project, which we have bonded for, to do all of the infrastructure. So we bonded for $18 million to go into this project to do all of the infrastructure, to get all of the horizontal improvements done. When the bids came in, we were 30. We had a $12 million shortfall on them, just simply because costs, and it wasn't UTA's fault, it wasn't our fault, it wasn't the developer's fault. Multiple sets of engineers came in with very similar figures, and so that's why we bonded for $18 million, because that's what our costs had been given to us when it finally came in for bid. So mobilization at 680, isn't 100% of this $10 million piece of the project. It is...
It's likely for the full DOD.
It's a chunk there. And so it's so hard for us to look at this as a $10 million project, because it's not. This is a $10 million shortfall, and how do you break it out for COG and say, well, this is what this $10 million is that we're asking? Well, it's a $10 million total out of a $30 million project. And so we're looking at it and saying, okay, well, in lieu of a third, we've put up 60% of this, 66%, we put up two thirds of this. And that's why our $10 million request came in. And then at eight, you know, over the, because it was $10 million shortfall, so we can make this work with eight. We went to UDOT, UDOT has agreed to give us the signals we will have to install. So it was nice of them to give us, you know, it took some serious negotiating for us to get UDOT to say, look, this is you've mandated these two changes at the entrance in 1450, eliminating 1,000. It's not our, we would have left it. We could have facilitated this differently. You required we eliminate this one and put in the two others. So they agreed to give us the signals and the asphalt.
But the asphalt's only for the intersection at Station Boulevard.
At Station Boulevard.
Well, in the application, you show a $300,000 in-kind contribution from UDOT.
Yeah.
For signals.
And that's what they've given to us.
$600,000?
$300,000. And so it was just breaking it down, and how do you say this is the $10 million portion? Well, how we broke that down was as we looked at this and said, okay, what does this lack of $10 million do? And we took this to the legislature, looking for their assistance in this shortfall. The only way to break that down is, okay, well, if we don't have it, we can't connect Depot, and we can't connect 1450. If we get four, we'll connect Depot. If we get eight, we'll connect 1450. We'll get both of those done. That finishes this project. That's the connectivity that we have to have, and that's the regional implication of this, is that Clifford Station in and of itself is a regional project. For Depot Street coming off of 193 to get to the station is huge, and we have planned there as far as, I think, square footage commercially for
600,000
of office space, 1,000 residential units. And then this has to connect to 1450, because we've got to eliminate this 1,000 East terrible intersection. And that gives us the connectivity up to the hospital and into Layton and over to Antelope. It was the only way we could break this project down. It says, okay, look, this is our shortfall. Basically, we're looking at $4 million here and $4 million here. We can get, you know, we need 10. We can do these with four, we'll contribute the rest of it out of our general fund.
By closing that intersection, are you looking at the fact that also cuts the traffic down in front of Clearfield High School?
Yes, which is a massive safety problem for us. Nice. Every year we have at least one, if not two or three children hit right in front of Clearfield High. It was never meant to be a collector road. It's a neighborhood road that from 1,000 East to 193. When UDOT put in 193, it created a thoroughfare along 1,000 East.
Yeah.
Because it's so much nicer than going through Antelope and going up the street and dealing with all of that traffic congestion, and so everybody cuts through.
Okay, so on your business park, your area there, so you're figuring that you'll have 600,000 feet office space.
Office.
And that's a different number than we've
got. Yeah, I was gonna say, when your last I had looked at the last event, they had said 67,000 square foot of commercial, 67,000 of office, and 1,000 residential.
Oh, that should be 600,000 of office.
600,000 of office. Yeah. That's okay.
What's a zero?
It's just a zero.
This is 3 5-story buildings.
Yes. It's four buildings potentially.
Yeah, 4 5-story buildings.
And their application does say 600,000 of office.
Yeah.
67,000 of retail.
Of retail.
But there's a lot. 1,000 residential units. 1,000 units. Let me just finish up quick on the on the cost breakout. There's just one more little detail there that caught our attention, and it was just on the street lights. The line item of 78 street lights it's almost at $1 million. Typically, when we see streetlights, we see $5,000 roughly for a streetlight. And so we felt like that was quite a bit excessive, maybe a betterment. And so if we reduce that to 5,000, and then if we come in up here with 150,000, which brings us in at about $250,000 for the mobilization, that all of a sudden brought the project into a $6 million grant. And that's where the COG came up with the recommendation of $4 million this year and $2 million next year, was with those two items. The COG had some questions too, as we've been talking just a little bit, about different issues. Now, we've discussed how 1000 East, which currently has a signal, that signal will be removed. It'll be a median right in and right out. And then there'll be a signal just right here at Station Boulevard and a signal right here at 1450 South Depot Street. UDOT required this signal to come out because it would be too close to have these three signals together. That's a UDOT requirement. The COG was concerned because 1000 East, as you were saying, has kind of become a main thoroughfare for access to Clearfield High School and I-15. The COG was also concerned at the north end of Depot Street. Right now, the application says that there could be as many as 2,900 vehicles a day using Depot Street. But there's no plans for a signal here, which makes sense because there's a signal at State Street on 193, and there's a signal right here at Industrial Parkway. And so again, you'd have that same issue. And so it's our understanding that this is just going to remain a stop sign. And so there's some traffic flow concerns that have arisen with the COG. And so with that, there's a few things that the COG wanted to put as some conditions on this that they recommended. And part of it also is on Depot Street, just making sure that the right-of-way gets all acquired. So they wanted to have all of the right-of-way purchases completed, because we know that that's been lagging a little bit, because we awarded, the county awarded a $1.5 million grant 2 years ago for right-of-way acquisition on this project. And we know you've run into some issues where real estate prices have gone up and the realtor's been a little slow to help you get some of those acquisitions taken care of. But there's another $1.5 million already on this project. The next thing was that they wanted to see a traffic management plan for a half-mile radius around the station because of all these new changes that are going to occur on State Street and 1000 East and 193. And we'd just like to have a letter of support from UDOT saying, yes, we're okay with what this is going to do to 193 and State Street and 1000 East, as well as a letter of support from the school district. Because there's Clearfield High, there's North Davis Junior High, South Clearfield Elementary, all right there. And we know that the school district uses these streets a lot as well. So we'd like to see a letter of support there.
We've sat down with the school district and discussed the changes there. They're fully aware of what's going on. They support the changes because it cuts down the traffic in front of the school. It requires that those kids coming out of Clearfield High will turn right on 1000 East and turn left on 193.
Yeah.
And then if they're going to go back down that way, they'll come down State Street.
Do you see an issue getting letters of support from either of those entities?
No.
Great.
And Barney, to back up, I want to just repeat those items you said that would be conditions. So a part of the right way, a traffic management plan for the area, and those two letters of support.
You got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are.
Can you go back up to the 193 in the intersection there, where we talked about a second ago? So, how, Mark and JJ, how important would it be, getting about these other traffic lights, to have that lighted intersection?
We'll never get a light there. It's a UDOT highway.
Proximities.
And just way too close to well, State Street and to the other. And it's well, we can't prevent, well, and UDOT may ultimately prevent a left-hand turn on 193 there. That would not.
Yeah.
That would not surprise me if UDOT puts in right a left-hand, out. A right-in, right-out.
Well, the only
but that's been the purpose of it, is to get you from there to 193 to get up to the freeway.
Yep. Yeah.
that's, it's not meant to be, and it's the same thing coming from the west side to get to, anyone else will never use that. It's getting out and getting to the freeway.
Okay, so realistically,
the west side getting in.
That's just a right or left turn, but
yeah,
that's not a problem.
No.
No.
Not on our.
The only reason I bring it up is because I.
Nobody, it is a rare thing right now for anybody to turn left out of there. I wouldn't dare turn.
When you've got all those employees coming in, though, that work on the west side, they'll find their way to get back.
It's a 50 mile an hour roadway.
Yeah.
That's not a left-hand turn. It would have been more beneficial for us, you know, obviously to have a stoplight there. It would be great to signalize it, but we have one in an industrial for a very good reason. That is a truck entrance to Freeport Center.
Yeah.
You cannot eliminate that one, and we can't. And then we've got one right around the corner at H Street, which is another, is the other entrance to Freeport. Yeah. Putting one in between those two would, you know, will never.
Okay.
It's hard enough just to get an access.
The only reason I ask that is I brought this up with these guys yesterday. I know that UDOT just put another light on West Hillfield Road, right there by the mall. Mm-hmm. There are three of them that are real a lot closer than what those would be. So, as UDOT says, never.
And then they break their own rules.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is our sounds regular.
You know, what I would suggest we do is that we table the light ones off this today.
Okay.
And we go through the other ones, and then I think we ought to get Layton to come in. I'd like to talk to him about their crossing over the railroad tracks at the Layton station. There's a lot of money there.
Would you like it in a work session?
Yes,
work session.
Yeah, it's a work session.
Any recommendations on the funding for the Clearfield? So we do have this priority list on the agenda today. Certainly, I'd recommend tabling those items 2 and 6. Any changes that you'd like to see to the Clearfield?
The question that I have, and I know we're running real late, is the aspect that you guys are a little bit short. Now, is this something that we can turn around, if we're doing 4 this year, 2 next year, we can work with these guys to see whether or not we can increase that for next year?
Right. Yeah.
I think, yeah, if I could speak to that question, I think that would be a fantastic approach, because as we've crunched the numbers just within the last couple of weeks, if it's 6 that we can get from the county, well, that might work, but we still are experiencing escalation in materials costs. And, you know, we're heading into winter conditions, and that's a wild card. So there are some variables that may shake out in our favor, or they might not. Maybe a year from now, $2 million might be fine. Maybe really we do need that second $4 million. So I don't know how the county.
I think we can look at the letters of intent as we do in April. If there's additional funds that are needed on top of this $2 million, I think at that point would be the right time to request those and just work through our typical third quarter process to ask for some additional funding. I think if we're going to invest, if the county is going to recommend investing $6 million, it would be unfortunate to be short and not get the full
project. Well, I think the thing too is that right now we've got two projects, namely over here at Station Park and you guys, to where for the future we bring a lot of jobs in. And the ability for those jobs, and I think that's something that benefits the entire county as far as it goes. So
I was going to ask about what's going on with the right-of-way purchasing, because that was interesting to learn about, but we're probably out of time.
Yeah. Well, just briefly, there are some property owners that have been pretty difficult to work with, and I mean that's it in a nutshell. We did have to threaten eminent domain.
And as soon as
finally
we get,
coming to resolution,
they went, oh yeah, never mind, we'll sell.
Yeah.
So it's
all right, that sounds like
all right, we'll be just
ready.
Okay. The journal, go to commission. Yes,
the time is 10:01 and this meeting is adjourned.